I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and Golfer Gal is busy taking care of the office, so I decided to find a suitable replacement, and that is Harry Arnett from Callaway Golf. Harry, how are you?
I'm good. You've run out of excuses for Golfer Girl not being around. I could see you struggling with something that was appropriate for her to be doing.
Yeah, I call that the Michael Scott, where I don't exactly know where I was going with it, but it just kind of keeps coming.
You could say that she's like halfway through P3000X, so she's on day 1500 or something, and she'll be back when she's finished.
She has a bone to pick with you, ironically enough, and that is she wants to know, and I was told to ask you this, and I do as I'm told, why she did not get in the tank at the PGA show.
We were afraid of what would happen if Golfer Gal did get in the tank, because we didn't trust the fact that she wouldn't try to drive it around and run over other displays. We know that she's had a long-standing feud with many of the training aid device companies that were in there, and we didn't want her going through there and wreaking havoc, so we kept her far away at the end of the day.
Well, now we'll get down to some business, and that is, when we have you on, we ask people to submit questions, things like that, and you know nothing about what's coming, you know nothing about the questions, we don't go into it, we like it that way, and one of the questions that came up a lot was about the five-year war. And I think that some people look at the five-year war as a war that you started with Callaway against other manufacturers, when really, yeah. I think maybe if you explain it a little better, that's not really the case. It is more about an internal thing.
Yeah, I love that one because everybody's like, oh, you guys are waging a war against TaylorMade or Titleist or Ping or whatever. And it actually, you know, just to repeat it, it started at a sales meeting. It was sort of an offhanded comment, and my boss always says to me, you launched a war, you didn't even tell us, was basically a war against the ways of the past. You couldn't go through 2 years ago, honest to God, you couldn't go through a single meeting without somebody here at Callaway saying, well, that's what we've always done, or that's the way we do it, or, I mean, that still comes up, believe it or not, every now and then today, of, well, we've always done it that way. And so the point of the whole war was, we have to have the same sort of intensity and urgency to change, a commitment to change that you would if you're going into something as serious and hard fought, you know, like battle. And so, you know, that really became a big rallying cry for us, was this sort of 5-year commitment to change the trajectory and the internal dynamics of the company primarily. And then of course people assumed we were trying to pick a fight with our competitors, but we really weren't trying to pick a fight with our competitors, although I guess they were offended by it in some cases, but we really meant no offense by it. But
now,
but yeah, so it's been, here we are in kind of year two of the 5-year engagement, and you know, so.
Now, you know, obviously there's a lot of changes that have taken place, and We talk about the industry when we have you on, but we don't get too deep. But being that Callaway is a public company, it was not hard to find out that the fourth quarter of last year was a big turnaround for you guys. And you can kind of relate that to the five-year war and say, okay, well, internally, there's certain goals. Obviously, it's a golf equipment company, and that is to sell equipment. Obviously, things are trending in the right direction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this was not, if you listen to our earnings call, we grew $100 million last year in top line and profitability swings. And we still got a long ways to go because we were, you know, we hadn't been doing well for previous to that. And we had, you know, we grew almost 20% across the globe in terms of our overall business, and, you know, gained share in just about every major market. And so things are good from a momentum standpoint, and golf is always about momentum. So from that, you know, aspect, I think things from Callaway are really good. And I think that we're just at a point now where we feel like we're just getting started, to be honest with you, because we're at, you know, having said all of that, we still are kind of back to even and with, you know, big time kind of expectations for how we're going to do this year. I think the thing that really excites us, and this gets back to that 5-year war thing, is it's sort of like we don't really compare ourselves to other people directly because we're doing things entirely differently. So we can't even say honestly here, oh, we're running faster than, you know, pick a company, Ping or Titleist or TaylorMade or Nike or whoever, because we're not doing the same things that they are. Yeah, we're trying to sell products like they are. We're trying to you know, hopefully consumers will buy our products over theirs, but we don't have the same marketing model. We don't have the same supply chain. We definitely don't have the same approach to signing tour players. So our entire business model is different now, certainly from where Callaway was and absolutely versus what other people do with respect to a brand positioning of being about count or otherwise. We feel like we've got the foundation to a plan that we think is different. We think it's exciting, at least to us. And at the end of the day, we have to think it's exciting. It's exciting. I think it's fresh. I definitely know, not just from all the consumers I talk to on literally a daily basis, but from our data that golfers are really appreciating what we're doing. That we have sort of some, like I said, some momentum around the brand. And I think the exciting things for us, and we saw this at the PGA show in particular, when we literally get to speak to lots and lots and lots of people in a short period of time, is people are starting to be able to articulate back to us what they think our model is and what our positioning, brand positioning, it's a little wonky, I know, but our brand positioning is, and it's really different from where our competitors are. And that's something that Callaway really had struggled with, Josh, is who are we? You know, where do we sit? What are we trying to do? Are we a version of this type of company? Are we a version of that type of company? Are we trying to do things the same way that a Titleist is or a TaylorMade is or a Ping is? And now kind of coming out of 2013 and into 14, I think people are really seeing that we are doing things our own way. And that really is the good start of having kind of a good 4 years here of the 5 years we talked about.
Speaking of the PGA show, this question is from Troy, EFL on THP, and he wants to know who thought of the tank.
The tank is a great story because we were in a room. We have meetings every morning. That's, you know, another change that we have is I don't really even have a staff meeting anymore because we meet every morning at 8:30.
So I knew that because we sent breakfast to you.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So we had the sliders coming. So every morning we meet at 8:30 to talk about what we're going to do that day, what we're going to do that week, what we're going to do that month, what we're going to do that quarter. It's sort of like the same way that you would envision, like, the Saturday Night Live writers trying to put together a show. And so we're talking about the PGA show, and I think I said, we need to get the original Big Bertha tank or Big Bertha cannon. And everybody kind of laughed and like, no, wow. So we kind of looked at that and we just did like a quick search on the internet, Johnny, and none of those exist. There are like two of them in the country and it was impossible. So then Johnny, who's like our absolutely most devious guy on the team and the most subversive for sure, said, whoa, let's get a tank for the tank putter. And so he started looking, and it actually is not easy to rent a tank. I know you probably think it is very difficult.
But I know that Johnny now has a tank guy.
Yeah. So Johnny now has a tank guy. It turns out there's a collector of tanks who lived 30 minutes or 40 minutes from the Orange County Convention Center in Orlando. And he had a hangar full of, you know, more than 40 tanks. And Johnny called the guy. The guy he doesn't rent him out or anything. And Johnny somehow convinced him to let us rent the tank. There may have been some early Big Berthas that exchanged hands back then, a month ago to get it done. And then sure enough, the Friday before the PGA show, there was a tank on its way to the convention center and then pulled into our area. It's a pretty, pretty funny story.
Is there any truth to the rumor that you would not let Chad drive the tank?
We wouldn't let Chad anywhere near the tank. Chad has got grape jelly on his hands half the time. We know that he'd be looking in the rearview mirror, fixing his hair while he's trying to drive it. So that creates some sort of hazard. But, yeah, we wouldn't let Chad anywhere near that tank.
Speaking
it's
of
actually worked out fine because you only have to guard it for a couple of hours during the day when Chad's working. So it's good.
Speaking of you and Chad, J-Man on THP wants to know, how excited are you for both the King and the second Granddaddy for 2014?
We're pretty jacked up. You know, we don't for the Granddaddy, we don't rebuild, we reload. So we've got a couple new guys on the team probably for the fall, which will be awesome. And that was, I mean, you were there. How fun was that event?
That was, it's called the Granddaddy of them all for a reason.
It was. So that sort of blew away all of our expectations about, you know, what that event could be. And obviously, you know, the competition was fun. But it was really a good representation, I think, of what we talked about going way back to the first time we ever talked on this program, on your radio program, which was we wanted to be the most aspirational and the most connected and engaged and accessible company in the world. And so with that comes bringing people into these kind of experiences with us rather than, you know, market to them. And so that was really eye-opening to us to see kind of the impact it would have, not just on the Hackers Paradise members, but on our team too. And, you know, I think Rihanna's made a whole bunch of friends and she doesn't make friends very easily. So that was nice. And, you know, obviously Chad did too. So then on the King, we're expecting more of the same. And I think the format is very different. This is me versus Chad. Chad and I have obviously a lot of animosity towards one another. I know that he looks at me as a father figure and I'm, that's, you know, I respect that, but I also, he's got to know that any parent has high expectations and he's continuing to not fall through on any of my expectations for him. And so finally we're going to settle this where the only place that it can be settled, and that's on the golf course. So we got, what do we got? Eight man teams.
12-man teams. You have 12-man teams, 8 THPers on a side, 4 Zoo Crew members on a side.
Right. 8 THPers per side.
Well, 7 THPers and you.
I get to pick the Zoo Crew team, so I'm going to load hashtag Chad's team up with all of the horrible golfers on the Zoo Crew. All of the good players will be on my team because, you know what, sometimes a dad has to teach his son a lesson, and it's going to happen.
Now,
at the King.
Speaking of...
Have you seen the logo, by the way, that Johnny did?
It's incredible. We started something on it last night. Johnny did,
how good does that look?
Johnny does incredible work. I mean, I can go outside and look at the tour van every day and see that.
Exactly.
Now, we're just talking about the Granddaddy, and Canadan has a question, and he says...
I love the username.
Yeah.
Canadan and J-Man...
He asks, do you Zoo Crewers feel like there's a notable target on your back heading into the second year of the Granddaddy?
Well, Callaway _ Harry A would respond as such. Bring the target on because, you know, we're not afraid. We're not back down. Hey, we took on the entire pyramid of influence, for crying out loud. You think we're afraid of a bunch of internet golfers? You got to be joking me. Although I will say, a lot of good play coming from THPers last time. So I remember Seth shooting 75 on the last day. Probably a lot of people don't know about that.
But yeah, well, it depends how close they are to Seth because he's made sure
it only
that
comes up every day on THP.
It pretty much does.
Yeah, we're not afraid. We have a very good plan for the rest of the year. A lot of instruction. A lot of people see a bunch of instruction, new instruction on our website, and all of that is really completely self-serving. We have access to the best instructors and the best equipment in the world, obviously, around. And we only give THP access to the best equipment, you know, during the Morgan Cup and during the Granddaddy. So we definitely have a big advantage there. And this is going to be a long year because we're barely in February and we got all the way to December to wait. But
well, fortunately,
we have a bunch of stuff between now and then, though. I think.
Exactly. So here's a question from Ad Willingham, and he asks, from a general sense, not specifically toward upcoming releases. Where does Harry view Callaway still needing to improve, or specifically still behind the pace of the other design, marketing, tour presence? Where can you guys improve still?
I'd say everywhere, really. I mean, I don't think anyone here is satisfied with where we are. That being said, I think if you look at what we're doing this year in terms of Callaway through the bag, I would put our lineup against certainly any other company's lineup in 2014, but I would say any other company's lineup ever, honestly, from Alpha to Big Bertha, through X Too Hot, the Apex Irons. We have an Edge Iron, too, that we haven't really even talked about, which is a purely game improvement iron hybrid set. We have the Mac Daddy 2 wedges, which I think are the best wedges in the world. And then I don't think anyone can touch Odyssey in terms of performance in the putter category. And then you move over to golf ball, and we have, I think, two platforms that are pretty innovative and game-changing, from Speed Regime series and then the Super Soft ball, which I would say is like riding a moped. It's really fun. You just don't want anybody to see you doing it. That's that 38 compression ball. I don't know if you mess around with that when you guys were here in December, Josh, but that ball's awesome. But it I think is. From a how are we going to improve, I think we can definitely get better in terms of how much content we're doing. I think we're leading in terms of content production and generation and behaving like a media company, you know, significantly more and better than anybody else. But I also think we have a long way to go for that too. So you'll see even more and more and more. And our desire is that CallawayGolf.com and Callaway Media Productions becomes one of the top five websites that golfers go to every day. And that's, you know, including Hackers Paradise and ESPN.com. And you probably have a lot of people that are spending way too much on Chive. So we're, you know, those are lofty goals. And, you know, obviously, in the same time, we have big desire for hashtag Chad to evolve into something useful. So, but from an equipment standpoint, I think we want to continue to lead. I think we're going to continue to bring innovations that drive performance out. We want to be, we want to continue to stay out in front of everybody else. And I think the things we're doing from Callaway, I think, are making some pretty dramatic and meaningful impact and changes into the industry, quite frankly. And I know something you and I have talked about offline before, but and that's awesome. So we're going to keep doing that.
Now, here's a question from an emailer by the name of me. You mentioned Odyssey.
Are you sending yourself emails now?
I am.
Yeah.
You mentioned Odyssey. Is there any truth to the rumor that Greg Sabella has the easiest job in all of golf?
How about that job? He runs around and plays golf all the time. He gets to just go and change putters out anytime he wants. He's like the second least hardworking working man in golf behind hashtag Chad. But hey, when he just shows up for the granddaddy and shoots 65, you know, who can argue that?
So, that's true. And his putters do work.
Exactly.
So this question is from Hawk, your opponent in the previous
call. Hawkaroo! We had a tough battle there on the singles match down to I was surprised Hawkaroo took me all the way to 17 before I closed him out there. We shook hands on 17. What's Hawkaroo have today?
On a scale of 1 to 10, please rate how much you are annoyed by internet weirdos on a daily basis.
I would say annoyed is a 0 because I love it. And again, we talked about this 2 years ago. I mean, we are committed to more than committed, but absolutely 100% supportive, on board, dedicated to the notion that the new influence model in golf is the sphere of influence and not the pyramid of influence. I say that so often that people are tired of me saying it. And what with that comes the fact that the consumer and the avid enthusiast, the passion enthusiast, is right in the middle of everything. And so, you know, on a scale of 0 to 10 being annoyed by it, it's 0 because I think it's awesome. And it's exactly what we said was going on in golf, that the power has shifted and the traditional pyramid of influence has been obliterated and doesn't really work anymore for the consumer. And that, I think, you know, one of our biggest competitors, CEO, basically admitted that at the PGA show publicly in front of the world.
Well, that'll lead me to my next question,
okay,
which is...
So from a 0 to 10, I'd say it's a 0. How much interaction I'm having on a hourly to hour basis, management, it's off the charts, and it's great. I mean, I personally feel like I've talked to and had some sort of engagement hundreds of thousands of golfers over the past year, and I've made a lot of friends on the internet, which I don't think that's so, you know, socially awkward to say that anymore.
It's a little.
I even just hired a guy that I met on the internet, literally. So it's awesome what's happening. The digital engagement of golfers and its effect on the traditional influence models and a game that pretty much was looked at as very slow moving and slow to evolve has been awesome. And I hope that everybody at THP really feels that happening too, because they're right in the middle of it.
Now, M. Maynard, you kind of alluded to this, wants to know, and I'm going to give you exactly 1 minute to answer this.
Okay.
What is your take on hack golf?
Well, you know, I don't go off the record on anything. So I applaud anything that anybody is, you know, trying to do. And I take everything that Mark and the panel was saying at face value, that trying sincerely to enhance and improve the game. Where I sort of disagree is I don't think there's anything wrong with the actual playing of the game. And as a matter of fact, one of the great allures of the game to me is the fact that it takes a little bit of effort and commitment to be good at it. And I think that there should be a difference between shooting 90 and 80. And those barriers, 100 or 90 or 80, those barriers are awesome barriers that have stood the test of time. And I happen to like the fact that those are there. What I think has happened in the game is that the experience of the game has not evolved with the current sort of culture of the busy professional. And, you know, to me, that's the guy that sits right in the middle of the sphere of influence. So I think what we all need to do in the game is recommit ourselves to the core as core golfers. And everybody, if you're on Hacker's Paradise, you're a core enthusiast. And within that pyramid of influence, your call to action, your charge is to reach out to others that aren't necessarily feeling like they're as included in that core and show them the path in. And I joke about this all the time. I consider myself a core golfer, although I look at myself as an outsider too. Read the blog post I did a couple weeks ago on CaliGolf.com. There's a little plug for my blog, but read it, because I think if we do a good job of reaching out to the core, I'm constantly inviting sort of casual golfers in to have access to things that I have access to. The Granddaddy is a great example of that, and the King is a great example of that, of THP and Cali working together to give people access to things they normally don't have access to within the core. But I personally, whenever I have the chance, or grab Johnny Rodriguez or Sabella, as a person that's not on the core playing with us, they never don't have a good time. And that's our way of bringing folks in. So, you know, my short answer is I don't think there's anything broken with the playing of the game. I think we need to do more to enhance the experience around the game and use the vehicles that are available to us now to talk about the game in ways that we haven't talked about in the past. But again, I anybody that's sort of committed to helping whatever the growth of the game means, and to me it means growing the core and keeping the core intact and growing from the inside out, I'm all for that.
Now, J-Man, who is your captain you're going to face in the Granddaddy, had a question for you that's very serious. He would like to know, do you choose the Von Erichs or the Freebirds?
Well, unfortunately, it's a regional thing. So I'm a Freebirds guy because I'm from Georgia. That was NWA territory. And the Von Erichs were in Texas. So I'm a Georgia guy, unfortunately. I know all the Texans are going to think that's crazy, but I'm the Freebirds, even though they were by far the ugliest group, if it wasn't the Rock and Roll Express or the Midnight Express, the ugliest group in the history of professional wrestling. So the Von Erichs win the Pretty Boy Award, the Freebirds win my allegiance. That is a great question from the J-Man.
Well, he says he's going to be ready for the granddaddy, and I know we're going to have a lot of news coming up as Golfer Gal and I are out to Carlsbad in a few weeks, and we'll have some granddaddy news for everybody. I want to thank Harry for coming on the show again, as always, answering the questions that people want to know the answers to. So for myself and Golfer Gal, who's not here, so for Harry, we will see you guys next week.